Thank you. Thanks, Andrew. So good to be here. As Andrew said, we were sent out from this church, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and it's just so good to be back. And I know many of you here and know the story and were with us on that sort of morning when we were sent out, and there's so many new faces here, so it's just so good to stand in partnership with you and just kind of concrete that togetherness that we have. So, yeah, it's good to be here. If you've got a Bible, it might be helpful for you to turn to Mark chapter 8, but if you don't have a Bible, it's okay. It's going to come up on the screen. I'm told with a press of my button here. So, as I understand, you've been working through a series, looking through the Gospel of Mark, these sort of three chapters in the middle of Mark, chapter 8, 9, and 10, and just looking at what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? What does it mean to follow him? And this morning, before we get into it, before I kind of jump in, we read it and look at it, I just want to take a moment, because I just feel like we need to kind of prepare our hearts a bit this morning. The Gospels are full of stories. That's what they are. They're stories about Jesus, and they're full of stories about him interacting with people, all kinds of different people. And one of the constant things that happens is that people meet with Jesus and they encounter him and they talk about stuff, and often they aren't ready to hear what Jesus is going to say. And there's these kind of constant stories where they come to Jesus with their own expectations, and they come with their own conclusions about who he is and what he's going to say, and he comes with their own understanding, and very often they're left stumbling because Jesus says something that they weren't ready to hear, and they didn't want to hear. For example, so we're going to be in Mark chapter 8, just a couple of chapters later in Mark chapter 10, there's this story about this rich man who comes to Jesus, and they have a conversation about this rich man and all the kind of things he's done, and what does it mean to be saved, how are they going to get eternal life, and they talk about the commandments and how holy this man is, all the good stuff he's done. And then Jesus, probably fully expecting Jesus to commend him and say, well done, you've done so much good, you've got it, you've achieved it. And instead what Jesus says is, you're close, but there's one thing, sell all you got and give it all to the poor. And it says, Mark writes, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful. He wasn't ready to hear what Jesus was going to say. And I feel this morning, we're kind of in one of those passages where we just need to prepare our hearts a minute. If we're not careful, we can kind of come. I think last week, Andrew was talking about a passage where Jesus is saying about having ears and not hearing, and having eyes but not seeing. Am I right? Good. So, and I think we just need to be careful that we don't get that slip into that thing of going, of hearing but not hearing, of sitting with ears and not really listening. So I'm just going to pray. We're going to jump in the passage and just hear what Jesus has to say to us. Lord, Lord, I pray you come and just move amongst us now, Lord. We just want to take a minute just to prepare our hearts, Lord. We want to be willing to hear what you've got to say to us. We want to be willing to listen and to respond to whatever you say. As we explore what does it mean to follow you, what does it mean to be a disciple of you, it's not always going to line up with the things that we want. And just help us now, Lord. I just pray as we open your word, if you read these passages, Lord, would you speak to us? Would you challenge us? Would you instill faith in us that we'd believe you for more, and that we would radically be people who pursue you over everything else, radically, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and move. Do more this morning than I could do with my own words, Lord. Yeah, amen. Okay, let's read the passage. So in Mark chapter 8, verses 31, we'll start there. Yes, nice. Okay, so Jesus, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and then after 3 days rise again. And he spoke plainly about this. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Okay, let's just pause. It's pretty full on. I don't want to be quick to kind of add my own words onto that. Just hear what Jesus says. Anyone wants to be my disciple, you must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. I don't know what that does to you, but when I didn't really want to, you know, when I was first given this passage, I was thinking, oh, I don't want to open that. I don't want to talk about that. This is an ouch moment where we kind of just listen to what Jesus has to say to us. And what I want to do is I want to look into it, unpack it a bit. But we don't want to rush past the first bit. We don't want to rush past the bit that Jesus says first, because it's important. Mark, writing this, has done this intentionally. He's put it in this order intentionally. We mustn't rush past this beginning bit where Jesus talks about his death. And it says he does it plainly. He starts to talk about his death and the things that Jesus is going to do. Because the truth is, the stuff that comes after, the things he does say, all of that, it only comes once we get this. Once we grasp what Jesus is saying here, the things that he's going to do, it's only possible if we understand the depths of what Jesus has done. If we fall deeper in love with him, if we're just enamored and overwhelmed and in awe of Jesus. You know, three times in these middle chapters, Jesus talks about his death. This is one of them. Three times he plainly tells his disciples what is going to happen. He does it here in chapter 9 and then again in chapter 10. So here they are. Let's just read these three accounts of Jesus. This is what he's going to do. "So the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law. And he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again." Chapter 9, he's speaking again to his disciples, and he says, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him." And after three, the Son of Man is sort of a title he uses for himself. It's this kind of his rich and biblical imagery as a name for him. He says, they're going to kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. Chapter 10, again, he's speaking to his disciples. "We're going to go up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, will hand him over to the Gentiles, will mock him, will spit on him, will flog him, and will kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise." And it's important that we don't just move past this. Here's my list of the things that Jesus says is going to happen to him. He's going to be delivered over into the hands of men. He's going to suffer many things. He's going to be rejected. He's going to be condemned. He's going to be mocked and spat on and flogged and killed. And he will be raised again 3 days later. This is our Jesus. This is who we've been worshiping this morning. This is what we're all about. This is why we're gathered. This is him, this is what he did, and he willingly did these things. This is amazing, isn't it? Three times he says, this is what's going to happen, before it happens. And what ends up happening is exactly this, exactly what Jesus said would happen. And why? Why did he do it? Why would he do this, willingly do this, kind of walk through this? Mark goes on to say that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So before we move on and look at what Jesus calls us to, it's just we just need to stop here and remember who we are. That we, those of us who are believers, who have our trust in Jesus, what are we? We are ransomed. That we are, that our lives have been paid for. They've been bought. The debt that we are owed with our lives has been paid by his life, as he gave himself and gave everything, did all of this as a suffering servant. This is what Jesus has done. And we can only move on as we just fall more in love with Jesus and are just overwhelmed by him. Lord, I just thank you for the truth of this. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you that we read these words and how you anticipated what was coming and you walked into it anyway, that you suffered many things, that you were mocked and beaten and rejected, you were condemned. All of that, Lord, you were killed, crucified. And you willingly walked through all of that for me and for us, for every person sat here. Thank you, King Jesus. Okay, I'm actually going to leave that up there because, as I said, this is really important that we, when we kind of look as into this next bit about what Jesus calls us to, that remains there. That's the sort of foundation. We don't move on from that. But we are going to move on to the next bit. Anyway, so Jesus talks about his death and what he's going to do, and then he has this interaction with Peter. And this kind of moment where Peter tells him off, and then Jesus turns around and tells Peter off. And he, in doing this, Jesus frames all of this with these kind of two categories. And he says to Peter, which is basically the problem Peter's doing, he says, you're not concerned, you're not thinking about the concerns of God. You don't have in mind the things of God, the concerns of God. You only have in mind the concerns of men. And so Jesus kind of puts these two categories up, the concerns of God and the concerns of men. And the thing is, they're not the same. They're not the same. The concerns of God and the concerns of man are not the same. And I think we can kind of think that they align a lot of the time. I mean, we can hope that they do. We assume that they do. Maybe we even pretend that they do. That the things that God is concerned about and the things that I am concerned about are basically a lot of the time the same. But you know, often, many times, they don't. They don't align. And there's a clash between the concerns of God and the concerns of man. What God is after and what we are after. There is a clash. And I think ultimately, this is what this whole passage is about. This is what Peter was doing as he kind of confronts Jesus and tells him off. He just didn't understand what was happening in that moment, and it explains why Jesus goes on to talk about what he does, about losing our life, about taking up our cross, about following him. Ultimately, it's about God's concerns taking priority over our own concerns, about laying our concerns down, the things that we want, the things we're after, laying them down and pursuing him. And so what Jesus does is it says that, interesting, it says Jesus calls the crowd along with his disciples. I just found that quite an interesting thing. He calls the crowd along with his disciples, the people that have chosen to follow Jesus, plus the crowd. This is like it's a gospel message that Jesus has given here. There's people in the crowd who haven't decided to follow Jesus. They're kind of maybe questioning, who is he? Who is this Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? The very thing this your series is about. What does it mean to follow him? And Jesus kind of takes this moment. He calls everyone to him. And he says, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself. You know, pick up your cross. And you need to follow me. If you want to try and save your own life, you're going to lose it. But if you want to lose your life for me, for Jesus, for the gospel, then you will find it. I haven't ever heard a gospel message quite like that. I've never given a gospel message quite like that, but Jesus does it. It's quite amazing. He says that here. So he calls a crowd along with his disciples, and he says, you want to be my disciple, they must deny themselves. Deny themselves. It's quite a strange phrasing. What does it mean to deny yourself? It's the same word that Jesus uses with Peter later on in the story, where Peter again kind of gets quite bolstered, and he says, "Jesus, I'm going to die for you. I'll do anything for you." And Jesus says, "No, do you know what? Even tonight, you're going to deny me three times." And that's exactly what happens. Jesus is arrested and tried three times. They come to Peter and say, "Hey, you knew Jesus, didn't you?" And he says, "I didn't know him." Three times. He denied Jesus. And this kind of weird twist, Jesus asks us to do that to ourselves. And what this means is that we separate ourselves, forget ourselves, ourself, forget our own interests, forget, lay down, separate myself from my concerns. That the things in my life that are priorities, the things I'm after, my concerns are laid down and forgotten. That something else takes priority. Parents do this all the time. I'm fortunate that my three kids are kind of out of the waking up in the night phase, but I'm kind of having those flashbacks to sleepless nights where in the middle of the night for the fourth time, kids awake, and in that moment, my concern is I just want to sleep, and I don't want to get up. I don't want to get out of bed, but I do, because in that moment, something else's concerns has come above mine. I deny myself and pursue somebody else's concerns. And Jesus says, "I want you to do that in all of your life, in everything for me." You want to be a disciple of Jesus? Deny yourself. And then he says, "Take up your cross." And again, musing on how weird of a phrase this is. For us, maybe it's easier to make a connection because we know the story and we know Jesus, what happens to Jesus, and he is killed, and he's killed on a cross, he's crucified. And so when we hear that, we kind of, what does the cross mean for us? Well, it's about Jesus and his death. And but when Jesus says this to his disciples, he hadn't died yet. That hadn't happened. So what did the cross symbolize for his disciples? All it was is a method of execution. That's what it symbolized. It was a picture of putting to death. That's what the cross symbolized. And so Jesus, when he says this, is when he says, "Take up your cross." What is the cross? It's a picture of putting to death. Jesus is not mincing his words. He's not kind of giving us a nice, comfortable thing to go away and think about and, a little bit challenging. He says, if you want to follow me, you've got to die. You've got to die. And obviously he calls us to take up our cross and to follow him. That ultimately his concerns become our new priority. His concerns and where he is going become our new priority. And we get this pretty remarkable contrast in these three, in these chapters that we're looking at, chapters 8, 9, and 10 of Mark. As I said earlier, Jesus speaks about his death three times through these chapters. Three times he speaks about what's going to happen to him. And what happens immediately after those three occurrences is pretty eye-opening. We get this massive contrast to what happens. So the first one is here in this passage we're talking about. Jesus says what's going to happen to him. He's going to be handed over and killed. Effectively, Jesus says, "I am going to deny myself, and I am literally going to take up my cross, and I'm going to lose my life." And he says to his disciples, "Okay, what I want you to do is to copy me. I want you to deny yourself, and I want you to take up your cross, and I want you to lose your life and follow me." So that's the kind of, that's how he introduces this pattern that's going to happen for these chapters. Jesus says, I'm going to deny myself, take up my cross, lose my life. I want you to do the same. The following chapter, chapter 9, where Jesus does it again, we're kind of introduced to the pattern. Jesus says, okay, I am going to deny myself, I'm going to pick up my cross, and I'm going to lose my life. And then it cuts to the disciples, and maybe following the pattern, we're going to expect to see a picture of the disciples doing that, of copying Jesus, and some way losing their life and laying themselves down for him, because that's what Jesus asked them to do. But instead, we get something completely different. In chapter 9, Jesus says what he's going to do, I'm going to deny myself, take up my cross, I'm going to lose my life. The very next thing we hear is about an argument amongst the disciples about who's the greatest. I mean, it's remarkable, isn't it? They're arguing about who is the greatest among them. Who's the most important disciple? And then the following chapter, chapter 10, we get it again. Jesus says, I am going to deny myself. I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to lose my life. And what happens next? The very next thing we hear is about James and John coming to Jesus saying, can we be sat at your right and left hand when you come in your kingdom? Can we be sat next to you? It's just like this remarkable contrast to what Jesus is asking of them. Just like it blows your mind when you read it. You think, how could they just not see what Jesus is calling them to? How can they be so self-centered and self-preserving and just concerned about themselves? And the more you kind of dwell on that, we realize you can't judge these guys. We cannot judge them because this is what we do. This is what we all do. Ourselves become our priority. Far from laying ourselves down, we try and save our own lives constantly. Put ourselves first, trying to make life for us better and make a future for us secure. And I think this is why Jesus is so strong in what he says here. He doesn't mince his word. He's so strong on it. Because our own lives can become a block to following him. Our own importance, our own selfishness, our own self-centeredness, human concerns, the things that we are bothered about can become a block to following him. And so every one of us here needs to hear this. We need to weigh it. We need to take it seriously. Let me just read the passage again. Jesus calls the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me, for the gospel, will save it. And what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? What can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, in this adulterous, sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. I just hope that we're feeling the weight of this. It's not the kind of the usual gospel message which is is easy to hear and just makes us feel good and comfortable and makes us feel loved. It's a radical, radical thing that Jesus calls us to do. And you know what? This is not a one-off. If it was a one-off, if this was like the only time in the Bible this sort of thing, language came up, then maybe we could kind of get around it. You know, he didn't really mean that. That's not quite what he meant. Jesus isn't actually asking us to give anything up. But you know, you don't have to look far to find the call of Jesus to suffer and to sacrifice for him. It's everywhere. In fact, if you start to look, if you open the Bible and you start to look, you'll find that the Bible has a radically different approach to suffering than the world does. And the truth that Christians are to expect and embrace suffering with joy, and that's the kicker, isn't it? With joy expect and embrace suffering for the gospel with joy is everywhere in Scripture. And this morning I'm not talking about suffering per se, but I just think that the foundation of all of this, the foundation of how we are to walk through life as believers, expecting and embracing suffering with joy, is exactly what Jesus is talking about here. That we die to ourselves. We consider our lives lost, dead. All of it is laid down. My life is lost for Jesus' life. You know, if I'm trying to hold on to bits of my life, I'm trying to grab hold of things and my identity and who I am, trying to keep hold of things, when life gets rocky and hard things happen, we're going to really struggle. We're going to find it hard. Things feel like they're slipping through our fingers. And so Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. That I lose my life to find it in him. So what does this look like? What does this actually look like? And I think it's probably worth just pausing a minute and talking about what this doesn't look like. There can be all kinds of misconceptions as we talk about this and misunderstandings of what Jesus is saying. Let's just take a moment to talk about what this isn't. My short list. This isn't about momentary kind of lapses. I'm sure many of us, if you're a believer and you've been a believer for any length of time, can think of lots of times where you kind of look back and think, oh, I wish I'd said something. I'd prayed for that person. I wish I'd told them about Jesus. The opportunity was perfect. I didn't do it. I mean, kind of that, you know, you can kind of feel that, oh, I should have done it. This isn't what Jesus is talking about. I think if you have an experience of that, you can read the verse where it says, if anyone is ashamed of me in this life, I will be ashamed of him. And you think, oh, is that's going to be me because I didn't tell this. But I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. It's not about momentary lapses. It's about something deeper than that. It's also not about self-sabotage, this kind of race to the bottom, about pursuing suffering. The idea isn't that next Sunday you all come trying to look like the competition of who can look the most miserable and, the person that's struggling the most is the holiest, most miserable are the closest to God's. That's not what it's saying. Neither is this about God asking us to suffer because he enjoys it, because he just likes to watch us suffer. That's not what's going on here. We talked about the story of the rich man and Jesus saying, sell all you have and give it to the poor. This isn't Jesus saying, because I just love to see you struggle with money, it'll be great. No, it's because money was a human concern for this man that was a problem. It was a block for him following Jesus. It was a block. It was a concern that trumped God's concerns, and so it needed to be killed. It needed to be put to death. That's why Jesus tells him to do it. And the final thing is it's not an attempt to earn favor. It's not what's happening. It's not that Jesus says, okay, give this up and then I'll give you something in return. It's not laying down my life in the hope that I'll get something from him. In the hope that I earn his acceptance and that I'm saved. Rather, it's something different, and that's intentionally why I've left this up. It's because we remember what Jesus has done, what he has already done for us. And it's willingly laying ourselves down because he laid himself down, because he is better, because he gives better. He's got something better. And so we willingly put ourselves down because of who Jesus is and what he's got for us. So it's not these things. Instead, this is like it's a heart posture. It's like it's a foundational thing. It's a grounding for us. That, you know, underneath all the busyness, tomorrow, I'm sure, like me, many of us are going to wake up and we've got a life. We've got things to do. We've got a job. We're going to go to work. We've got ambitions we're going after. We've got dreams and we've got creativity and we've got things to do. We've got money to earn. We've got things we're going to spend our time in. We've got all of that. But the point of this is that underneath all of that, just removing all of that stuff, underneath it all, actually, I have died to myself and none of that is mine. None of it is my own. And that at any moment I'm willing to walk away, to leave it all, and pursue Jesus if he asks me to. In obedience to him, I'm willing to walk away from it because it's not mine. And you know, the truth is that God does, and he will call us to lay things down. He does it. He calls us to lay some stuff down. And this is going to look different to each one of us. We'll recognize each one of us, God's made us unique. And we have our own stories. We have our own history. We have our own battles and struggles. And the call of Jesus to pick up, you notice the language that he uses. He doesn't say pick up a cross, pick up my cross. He says they must pick up their cross. Each one of us has something that we must bear in our pursuit of Jesus. The rich man we talked about, his cross was money. That's the cross he had to pick up. He had to die to himself. As I said, many of us, it's going to look different. The disciples who followed Jesus, for many of them, this was physical. And they literally died. Many of them literally were killed. They literally lost their life for Jesus. And maybe that will happen for some of us. But often this will come in other forms, that it challenges our identity. It's possible who we are. The groups that we identify with, we've got to lose them. Our desires, our dreams, our hopes. We've got to lay these things down. Doesn't mean we don't pursue them, but we lay them before God. And just, I consider myself dead to them. How we spend our money. How we spend our time. All kinds of things. Maybe it's just a kind of social acceptance, being willing to be ridiculed for following Jesus, being willing to be the social outcast for talking about Jesus. It's not an exhaustive list. But the call on our life is that we take up our cross, which is a means of execution, of putting to death, and we follow him. Okay, let me wrap up. I'm going to wrap up, and then we're going to respond. We're going to take communion. Jesus introduced this, as I said, talking about God's concerns and humans' concerns, the concerns of man, and the kind of clash that happens. And here's the truth of it. There are going to be times in your life, in my life, where the concerns of man are going to make demands of us. They're going to be loud, and they're going to be speaking, and they're going to be calling us. And if we have not listened to Jesus, if we haven't done the work of hearing what he's saying, if we've not made the decision to lay ourselves down, then we're going to get sidetracked. We're going to get consumed by the demands of the concerns of man. That human concerns will become our priority. And there's going to be times when the concerns of God will make demands of us. And you'll say, well, go, speak, give, stop, start, don't. The concerns of God will make demands of us. And what we'll find is that these will clash with our concerns. They'll clash with the concerns of man. And if we've not heard this, if we haven't made the decision to die to ourselves, to lay ourselves down, then we won't be willing to lay down our concerns. We won't be willing to hold God's concerns above our own. And don't worry too much. There wasn't anything else on the PowerPoint, so it's fine. So what Jesus calls us to is to fall deeper in love with him, to fall in love with Jesus, and humbly laying ourselves down, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following him. And often it's going to be hard. Because choosing God's concerns means we can't choose our own concerns. We can't choose the concerns of man. It means putting to death our concerns, trusting that he is better. And that's ultimately what it's about, trusting that Jesus is better. because of what he's done for us. And if it was on, here we go, look, quick. We'll come back to the list, there we go. Because of what Jesus, the things that Jesus has done. And so I just want to finish by owning this list. And this is me speaking to myself. And maybe you'll feel able to join in your heart. But as I consider what Jesus has done and what he has caused me to, I just want to come before him and say to him and to myself that I am willing to be delivered over into the hands of man. I am willing to suffer many things. I am willing to be rejected, to be condemned, to be mocked, to be spat on, to be flogged, to be killed, because I will be raised again in him. We're going to take communion in response. I think you guys are going to come and come back up. We're going to take communion in response. Communion, we break bread and we drink. I don't know, what are you drinking these days? People have bought their own drinks. Okay, cool. So we drink the cup, which is what Jesus often calls it, the cup. And so we break bread, we drink the cup. And this is in response to Jesus. This is in response to what Jesus tells us to do. He commands us to do this. And as we remember his death, his body broken for us, his blood shed for us, we remember his death and his resurrection. So we do this in response to him. And just as we do this, we take communion, I just want to encourage us to examine ourselves. Examine our hearts. We just got to hear the words that Jesus calls us to. And let's just spend a moment. I'm sure the band's going to play in a second. But let's just examine our own hearts. Am I willing to deny myself? Am I willing to take up my cross and follow him, whatever that means for me? Am I willing to lose my life to find it in him? And as we examine, maybe we want to be specific and just consider, is there any part of my life that I'm holding on to too tightly? Is there any part of my life that I am not willing to lay down? I want to pray that God would highlight things in our hearts. As we take a moment to reflect and respond, God's going to highlight things, and maybe, it isn't easy. It isn't an easy thing to walk through. Lord, we, as your church, as your people, we want to be serious about what you call us to do. We want to be serious about your word. Lord, we don't want to sort of take the nice things and get rid of the things we don't really are too difficult. We want to really hear what you call us to do, because we trust in you. We believe that you have got something better for us. You've got something better for us. We want to believe that. And Lord, we want to hear your word to us this morning, what you call us to, the radical nature of being a disciple of Jesus. Laying ourselves down, picking up our crosses and following after you. And Lord, each one of us here is going to have a different story and a different battle and a different thing to face. And I just pray in this moment we would do business with you. You'd highlight things in our area that we're holding on to too tightly. You'd highlight things in our life which we need to be more willing to lay down. And it might even be in this moment as we respond that we're just kind of, God's going to confirm some things in our life that he wants us to lay down. It might even be in this moment God's going to speak and ask us to stop things, to put things to death in our life. And we just want to create some space for us to respond to that. So, these guys are going to play. don't know, what do you do? Okay, so you've all, I think you've all got your own cup. Come and grab some bread here. Let's break it. And this is, as I said, this is in response to Jesus. This is in response to... can we stand up? King Jesus, just come and move amongst us, Lord. Come and move. We just thank you again for your death and your resurrection. Thank you for the list that we have had up on the screen of the things that you willingly did for us. And communion is a reminder of that, of what you did. And it's also a moment of us identifying ourselves in you, saying, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to follow you wherever you go. I want to pursue you. I want to be a disciple of you, Jesus. So as we work that through, let's come and grab some bread, drink the cup. Let's remember, celebrate, repent if we need to repent, pray if we need to pray, press into Jesus in this moment.